Blog Talk Radio.
Synagogue Church of Jesus Christ presents
Revival
with your host evangelist, Pastor Johnny O. Teaching and preaching God's holy word. Now let's learn God's holy word on Revival.
Versatile Radio. Say something.
Well, God bless, God bless. This is Pastor Evangelist Johnny O. Are you ready? Because it's coming like a flood. I mentioned to everyone about the Shemitah and the timing of September 13, 2015. Just weeks away, guys. And now I have confirmation more that this nightmare is going to hit. America in Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51 is the Babylon. I had my doubts because I've heard commentaries that it was Saudi Arabia and blah, 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 and the Quran and this and that. And I had to repent, and I'm repenting in front of everyone right now, because when I was equating all of the prophecies and everything and all these different revelations, and then God said, did I write the Quran? And I said, oh, no, you didn't. So why are you taking that into credence? Why is that solidified as prophecy? And I had to repent when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I said, oh, my Lord. And he said, no, Babylon is America. America will burn. America will burn. It starts on September 13. Now, it's not going to burn then. It starts the fall, the crash, the beginning of the domino hit that causes all the other dominoes to fall. It's the process which begins the destruction. I heard one prophet, one pastor say, it happens because of derivatives. Derivatives, again, I'm saying it again, derivatives fall apart. This time, not like 2008 and 2001 where we could do all these buybacks and bailouts and all these different things that we did to maneuver the economy and the infrastructure and the index rates and all these different things to try to stabilize it, which we are still under the gun. We have not stabilized it. We are getting worse. Every minute of the day, it's getting worse. But no, let me back up a little bit. Now, on September 13th, 2015, we're going to have a nightmare. And this time, we're going to do our bailouts and this and that, all these different things. I'm not even sure what's going to happen. Could be a complete disaster, an implosion of everything. But nevertheless, let's assume they start these bailouts and all these different things, and they try to keep it afloat as possible, as much as possible as they try. The prophecy says that America will not recover. It will implode. We're looking at disasters. We're looking at possible rapture, maybe a year later, or whenever it's coming. Let me just use this because I don't want a date set. But we do know the feast of when it's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah. And we know that because we know this season. The Bible tells it. The Word of God says it. Not people's opinion. Not the Gentile teaching. Oh, no one knows the day and the hour. They all use that Gentile type teaching, but they don't go to the feast and read the identifications, the labeling of each feast, because we're quick to run to the Bible and say that Jesus fulfilled every spring feast perfectly, prophetically, but when he comes to the fall feast, he's going to pass on it. It's ridiculous. Pastors, my brothers, with love and compassion, I reach out to you. Study your feasts. Because they're not the feast of the Jews. that the feast of the Lord's. So he is giving it to all of us, Jew and Gentile, to study hard, to show ourselves approved so that we can know what we're talking about when we are dissecting and putting together Bible prophecy. Rosh Hashanah is about the rapture of the church. Read it. It's nothing supernatural or miracle or I got a revelation on it. It is text scripture 101. It's simple. I mean, any Bible scholar, even a novice, can just go read the titles of Rosh Hashanah and you realize, holy baloney, this is about a marriage and the feast is basically about the last trump and the rapture and wow, it's right there. Wow, what a revelation. But let's get back. Jeremiah 50:51. This show is called Call 911. America is about to burn. Why? Because this show is going to shake you. This show is going to really bring some fear into you and prepare you to get food, non-perishable food and water, and prepare your family with prayer and supplication in Jesus Christ. This is no joke. This is a 911 show. Okay? We're going to break it down. I'm going to interrupt with commentaries, and sometimes I might not even interrupt. I want you to hear the hosts and how they're explaining their testimonies and their visions and everything. But I was one that was skeptical about the Babylonian call because there's a part that says that the Arab doesn't pitch his tent there anymore. But then the Holy Spirit says, yes, he's been pitching his tent here in America, where you have a Mirarat tower located in the Freedom Tower in New York City, and you have all these other Babylonian-named towns, Egyptian-named towns, and all these symbolic names and all these symbolic landscapes and statues and all these symbolisms. It's all around us. You can see the influence of Babylon, Egyptian culture and art and language and everything. And we're watching this just pollute the community. And if you go as far as going to the landscaping of Washington and looking at the Mirarat that they put up in the Freedom Tower in New York City and all these different things that I just mentioned, and then look inside of the messages of the prophetic apocalyptic messages found on the cathedral in New York City. Look at the apocalyptic messages found in the Denver, Colorado airport. Look at the statues that they just erected, the statue of a god of the dead, Osiris, and all these other different demonic statues and names of towns that are equated to Egyptian culture and the ancient times. I mean, literally, America is just polluted with all this symbolism all around it, and it's showing its agenda. It's going to destroy you and me, but it's not going to happen. God says there's only one God, and it's Him. He's the living God, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. God even says in His own word, all these other gods are nothing but statues and stones and wood carvings and ideologies and philosophies. They don't even hold water. They're like strainers. They can't hold nothing. God is the only God out here, and we need to focus on Him. Jeremiah 50:51 is about Babylon. Babylon, replace the name and use it and say America. When you hear these two chapters in the Word of God in the Old Testament, in the prophet Jeremiah, who was rejected by his family, rejected by the religious sect of its time, by the governors and everyone that was in power at the time, because he brought a message of truth and power, and he did not compromise like I'm doing. I take all of the prophetic messages out there, and I put it together, and I give you all of God, what He has, all of the visions and the prophecies, and we put it together like a puzzle, and we could see the future coming. This is not Y2K. This is not the Mayan calendar, ladies and gentlemen. This is God's word. Too much is happening simultaneously for us to be blind and putting on the blindfolds and pretending we're not hearing this. Wake up, America. My church members are awake. They go to my church at Synagogue Church of Jesus Christ, and they are sitting attentively, waiting and readying themselves, getting food and water, and preparing themselves for this apocalyptic event that's going to happen on September 13th. Without any further ado, let's get into Jeremiah 50:51. Because someone better call 911. America's going to burn. America's going to burn. America, you're going to burn.
Chapter 50. The word that the Lord spoke against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet. Declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard, proclaim, do not conceal it. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is shamed. Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are humiliated, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north a nation comes up against her, which shall make her land desolate, and no one shall dwell therein. They shall move, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together. With continual weeping they shall come and seek the Lord their God. They shall ask the way to Zion, with their faces toward it, saying, Come and let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that will not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All who found them have devoured them, and their adversary said, We have not offended, because they have sinned against the Lord, the habitation of justice, the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Move from the midst of Babylon, go out of the land of the Chaldeans, and be like the rams before the flocks. For behold, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall array themselves against her. For there she shall be captured, their arrows shall be like those of an expert warrior, none shall return in vain. And Chaldea shall become plunder, all who plunder her shall be satisfied, says the Lord. Because you were glad, because you rejoiced, you destroyers of my heritage, because you have grown fat like a heifer threshing grain, and you bellow like bulls, your mother shall be deeply ashamed. She who bore you shall be ashamed. Behold, the least of the nation shall be a wilderness, a dry land, and a desert. Because of the wrath of the Lord she shall not be inhabited, but she shall be wholly desolate. Everyone who goes by Babylon shall be horrified and hiss at all her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon all around, all you who bend the bow. Shoot at her, spare no arrows, for she has sinned against the Lord. Shout against her all around, she has given her hand, her foundations have fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her, as she has done, so do to her. Cut off the sower from Babylon, and him who handles the sickle at harvest time. For fear of the oppressing sword, everyone shall turn to his own people, and everyone shall flee to his own land. Israel is like scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria devoured him. Now at last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land, as I have punished the king of Assyria. But I will bring back Israel to his home, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan. His soul shall be satisfied on Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and in that time, says the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought, but there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, but they shall not be found. For I will pardon those whom I preserve. Go up against the land of Merathaim, against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekod. Waste and utterly destroy them, says the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded you. A sound of battle is in the land, and of great destruction, how the hammer of the whole earth has been cut apart and broken, how Babylon has become a desolation among the nations. I have laid a snare for you. You have indeed been trapped, O Babylon, and you were not aware. You have been found and also caught because you have contended against the Lord. The Lord has opened his armory and has brought out the weapons of his indignation. For this is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the farthest border, open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps of ruins, and destroy her utterly. Let nothing of her be left. Slay all her bulls, let them go down to the slaughter. Woe to them, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. The voice of those who flee and escape from the land of Babylon declares in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. Call together the archers against Babylon, all you who bend the bow, and camp against it all around, let none of them escape. Repay her according to her work, according to all she has done, do to her. For she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore her young men shall fall in the streets, and all her men of war shall be cut off in that day, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O most haughty one, says the Lord God of hosts. For your day has come, the time that I will punish you. The most proud shall stumble and fall, and no one will raise him up. I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it will devour all around him. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel were oppressed, along with the children of Judah. All who took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He will thoroughly plead their case, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword is against the Chaldeans, says the Lord, against the inhabitants of Babylon, and against her princes and her wise men. A sword is against the soothsayers, and they will be fools. A sword is against her mighty men, and they will be dismayed. A sword is against their horses, against their chariots, and against all the mixed peoples who are in her midst. And they will become like women. A sword is against her treasures, and they will be robbed. A drought is against her waters, and they will be dried up. For it is the land of carved images, and they are insane with their idols. Therefore the wild desert beasts shall dwell there with the jackals, and the ostriches shall dwell in it. It shall be inhabited no more forever, nor shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighbors, says the Lord, so no one shall reside there, nor son of man dwell in it. Behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation and many kings shall be raised up from the ends of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance. They are cruel and shall not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea. They shall ride on horses, set in array like a man for the battle. Against you, O daughter of Babylon, the king of Babylon has heard the report about them, and his hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of him, pangs as of a woman in childbirth. Behold, he shall come up like a lion from the floodplain of the Jordan against the dwelling place of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. And who is a chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me? Who will arraign me? And who is that shepherd who will withstand me? Therefore hear the counsel of the Lord that he has taken against Babylon, and his purposes that he has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he will make their dwelling place desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth trembles, and the cry is heard among the nations. Chapter 51. Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon, against those who dwell in Lev Kemai, a destroying wind, and I will send winnowers to Babylon, who shall winnow her and empty her land. For in the day of doom they shall be against her all around. Against her let the archer bend his bow, and lift himself up against her in his armor. Do not spare her young men. Utterly destroy all her army. Thus the slain shall fall in the land of the Chaldeans, and those thrust through in her streets. For Israel is not forsaken, nor Judah by his God the Lord of hosts, though their land was filled with sin against the Holy One of Israel. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and everyone save his life. Do not be cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He shall recompense her. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunk. The nations drank her wine, therefore the nations are deranged. Babylon has suddenly fallen and been destroyed. Wail for her. Take balm for her pain. Perhaps she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go, everyone, to his own country. For her judgment reaches to heaven and is lifted up to the skies. The Lord has revealed our righteousness. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make the arrows bright, gather the shields. The Lord has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his plan is against Babylon to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. Set up the standard on the walls of Babylon, make the guards strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes, for the Lord has both devised and done what he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. O you who dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures, your end is come, the measure of your covetousness. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, surely I will fill you with men as with locusts, and they shall lift up a shout against you. He has made the earth by his power, he has established the world by his wisdom, and stretched out the heaven by his understanding. When he utters his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. Everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image. For his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are futile, a work of errors. In the time of their punishment they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. You are my battle axe and weapons of war, for with you I will break the nation in pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and its rider. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and its rider. With you also I will break in pieces man and woman. With you I will break in pieces old and young. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. With you also I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I will break in pieces governors and rulers. And I will repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil they have done in Zion in your sight, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroys all the earth, says the Lord. And I will stretch out my hand against you, roll you down from the rocks, and make you a burnt mountain. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. They shall not take from you a stone for a corner, nor a stone for a foundation, but you shall be desolate forever, says the Lord. Set up a banner in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call the kingdoms together against her, Ararat, Minai, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a general against her, cause the horses to come up like the bristling locusts. Prepare against her the nations with the king of the Medes, its governors and all its rulers, all the land of his dominion. And the land will tremble in sorrow, for every purpose of the Lord shall be performed against Babylon, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They have remained in their strongholds. Their might has failed. They became like women. They have burned her dwelling places. The bars of her gate are broken. One runner will run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on all sides. The passages are blocked, the reeds they have burned with fire, and the men of war are terrified. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor when it is time to thresh her. Yet a little while, and the time of her harvest will come. Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon has devoured me, he has crushed me. He has made me an empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has spit me out. Let the violence done to me and my flesh be upon Babylon, the inhabitant of Zion will say, and my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, Jerusalem will say. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your case and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry. Babylon shall become a heap, a dwelling place for jackals, an astonishment and a hissing without an inhabitant. They shall roar together like lions, they shall growl like lions' whelps. In their excitement I will prepare their feasts, I will make them drunk, that they may rejoice and sleep a perpetual sleep and not awake, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams with male goats. Oh, how Shishak is taken! Oh, how the praise of the whole earth is seized! how Babylon has become desolate among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She is covered with the multitude of its waves. Her cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land where no one dwells, through which no son of man passes. I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring out of his mouth what he has swallowed, and the nation shall not stream to him any more. Yes, the wall of Babylon shall fall. My people, go out of the midst of her, and let everyone deliver himself from the fierce anger of the Lord, and lest your heart faint and you fear for the rumor that will be heard in the land, a rumor will come 1 year, and after that in another year a rumor will come, and violence in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days are coming that I will bring judgment on the carved images of Babylon. Her whole land shall be ashamed, and all her slain shall fall in her midst. Then the heavens and the earth and all that is in them shall sing joyously over Babylon, for the plunderers shall come to her from the north, says the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon the slain of all the earth shall fall. You who have escaped the sword, get away. Do not stand still. Remember the Lord afar off, and let Jerusalem come to your mind. We are ashamed because we have heard reproach. Shame has covered our faces, for strangers have come into the sanctuaries of the Lord's house. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will bring judgment on her carved images, and throughout all her land the wounded shall groan. Though Babylon were to mount up to heaven, and though she were to fortify the height of her strength, yet from me plunderers would come to her, says the Lord. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans, because the Lord is plundering Babylon and silencing her loud voice. Though her waves roar like great waters, and the noise of their voice is uttered, because the plunderer comes against her, against Babylon, and her mighty men are taken, every one of their bows is broken. For the Lord is the God of recompense, he will surely repay. And I will make drunk her princes and wise men, her governors, her deputies, and her mighty men. And they shall sleep a perpetual sleep, and not awake, says the King, whose name is the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly broken, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people will labor in vain, and the nations because of the fire, and they shall be weary. The word which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Seraiah the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah the king of Judah to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign, and Seraiah was the quartermaster. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon, all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Seraiah, when you arrive in Babylon and see it and read all these words, then you shall say, O Lord, you have spoken against this place to cut it off, so that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. Now it shall be, when you have finished reading this book, that you shall tie a stone to it and throw it out into the Euphrates. Then you shall say, thus Babylon shall sink and not rise from the catastrophe that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah.
Not convinced? Need more evidence? Well, Pastor Levy reached out to Rick Wiles a while back and gave him his vision that was given to him from the Father. And he told him in Isaiah 19 that that was America converting into Egypt, and that Obama was Pharaoh, acting like Pharaoh, being very pompous and arrogant, a habitual liar, and a person that is of no integrity. Shamefully, we are at this end. We are here. Need more evidence? Just pray for our president that he converts over and denounces pagan religions and cultic things and false agendas and sexual immoralities, and that he accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and his foundation. That's what we're to do, to pray for him, to love on him. Unfortunately, What I mentioned before is what he's presenting to us. Is he Pharaoh? Has America become the Egypt of modern day times? Need more evidence? Well, let's listen to Rick Wiles as he takes Isaiah 19 and converts it by changing the words from Babylon. He'll say America. He uses different words. He'll explain it. And please, to my brothers and sisters in Christianity, don't get bent out of shape, because this revelation came from God. So while you're reading this, you'll see the perspective of how vivid, how pinpointing it is to see the accuracy of Scripture, that God has given us the privilege, the honor, to show us the future before it happens. My brothers and sisters, if you have the opportunity to get out of America, get out. Get out now. This is no joke. Listen to this.
Days after Barack Obama's re-election in 2012, I said that the American people are being taken into captivity. Freedom has fled. Liberty is lost. When I asked our Heavenly Father in prayer why Barack Obama was re-elected, the reply from God was quick and simple. The tares now outnumber the wheat in America. It appears that we are witnessing symbolic similarities between the enslavement of the Hebrew people and the enslavement of American Christians that is presently in progress. In case nobody is seeing the obvious clues, Mr. Obama's real face was revealed at the 2013 White House Passover Seder meal with Jewish leaders. During last year's Passover event, Mr. Obama played the role of Pharaoh in retelling the Exodus story of God's people. Last night, prophetic end-time watchman Steve Quayle from Bozeman, Montana, called me at my home at 9 p.m. He said the Lord put an urgency in his spirit to call me. Steve had no idea that today's True News program would be about Barack Obama as Pharaoh and America as Egypt. And Steve read to me a prophetic warning the Holy Spirit gave him 4 years ago, in which the Lord told Steve that Barack Obama is America's Pharaoh. I know in my spirit that today's program is going to be a program that is going to impact the lives of many people around the world. I just know in my spirit this program is going to go viral on the internet and go around the world. The Holy Spirit's going to use this broadcast to speak to many people, to wake them up, to jolt them into reality about the lateness of the hour. As I told you in the introduction of the program, I was contacted by a Jewish Messianic pastor. I only know him as Pastor Levy. I don't know anything else about him, but he has an urgent message that he says God gave to him regarding America as Egypt in the last days. And I told you in the introduction to today's program how this came about, with the Lord speaking to me to read Genesis 41 through 47 on a Sunday afternoon. And the very next morning, I have this call from Pastor Levy saying that he has a message regarding Egypt, America, and a great famine. Pastor Levy says that this message is a harbinger, a warning sign that is found in Isaiah 19. Now, I will read portions of Isaiah 19, and I will take the liberty of inserting America for Egypt. This will really drive the point home to you. I will also substitute the Mississippi River for the Nile. Likewise, I will substitute Barack Obama for Pharaoh. And I will substitute elite for princess. This is what Isaiah 19 says. This is just some of the scriptures. It's not an entire reading. It says, behold, the Lord is riding on a swift cloud and comes to America, and the idols of America will tremble at his presence, and the heart of the Americans will melt within them. And I will stir up Americans against Americans, and they will fight each against another, and each against his neighbor, city against city. And the spirit of the Americans within them will be emptied out, and I will confound their counsel. And they will inquire of the idols and the sorcerers and the mediums and the necromancers. And I will give over the Americans into the hands of a hard master and a fierce king who will rule over them, declares the Lord God of hosts. And the waters of the sea will be dried up, and the river will be dry and parched, and its canals will become foul. And the branches of America's Mississippi will diminish and dry up. Reeds and rushes will rot away. There will be bare places by the Mississippi, on the brink of the Mississippi, and all that is sown by the Mississippi will be parched, will be driven away, and will be no more. The fishermen will mourn and lament, all who cast a hook in the Mississippi, and they will languish and spread nets on the water. The workers in flax will be in despair, and the weavers of white cotton, those who are the pillars of the land, will be crushed, and all who work for pay will be grieved. The elite of America are utterly foolish. The wisest counselors of Barack Obama give stupid counsel. How can you say to Barack Obama, I am a son of the wise, a son of the kings? Where then are your wise men? Let them tell you, that they might know what the Lord of hosts has purposed against America. The elite of America have become fools, and the elite are deluded. Those who are the cornerstones of their tribes have made America stagger. The Lord has mingled with her a spirit of confusion, and they will make America stagger in all its deeds, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. And there will be nothing for America that head or tail, palm branch or reed may do. In that day, the Americans will be like women and tremble with fear before the hand that the Lord of hosts shakes over them. And everyone to whom it is mentioned will fear because of the purpose that the Lord of hosts has purposed against them.
I'd like to take this opportunity right now and thank all the tithers and offerings that I'm receiving on PayPal. The email you're using is Funktastic Entertainment. That's FunktasticEnt@yahoo.com. Entertainment is abbreviated ENT@yahoo.com. So it's Funktastic Entertainment. Please continue your tithes, your offerings, anything that God places on your heart, because that's what keeps this show alive. It keeps me going so I can maybe convert my music career completely into 100% doing evangelism and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is my dream, and to have a church one day, a building, and maybe even tour the nation on a RV bus is my dream, a black and white one. I'm even saying, I'm prophesying the color and the beauty of the truck, so I can go out there and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell everybody and prepare them for the coming of our Lord, because it's coming like a flood. I keep using that word, it's coming like a flood. Jesus is coming soon. Without any further ado, let's listen to this testimony of America converting to Egypt by Pastor Levy, a Messianic Jewish believer like I am. And God bless you. Enjoy.
And during 2012, something amazing happened. And I will explain to you how it all began. Father called me to do a retreat for 7 months. I needed to rent a cabin in a distant place for 7 months, and I needed to pray, and I needed to fast oftenly. And he revealed to me and my wife that he was going to talk to us in that retreat. So after 7 months of praying and fasting, on the seventh month, the Father took me to Isaiah chapter 19. This is an amazing prophetic word for these days. Isaiah chapter 19 is a harbinger. A harbinger is a sign of something that is coming. So Isaiah 19 is a harbinger of the destruction of Egypt. I'm going to give a little background, biblical and archaeological, of what Isaiah 19 talks about. About 6 centuries before the Messiah was born, Egypt was one of the most powerful nations in the world, and it was the closest ally of Israel. So Israel was trusting in the help of Egypt to defeat the Babylonian Empire and to resist the Babylonian attacks. But what happened is that the Pharaoh back then was a Pharaoh called Apries. Apries washed his hands from helping Israel, and he focused on his internal policies, so economical judgment hit Egypt back then. So Isaiah 19 talks about a judgment that comes on ancient Egypt because of betraying Israel, and the judgment was that the Nile River was going to dry up. The Nile River was the breadbasket of the world back then, so a drought in the Nile River would imply a famine throughout Egypt and also throughout the entire Middle East. Eventually, Isaiah 19 goes on to say that the drought was going to be so severe that it was going to damage the economy so bad that a civil war was going to break out throughout the entire Egyptian empire. So when I was reading Isaiah 19 and all the judgments on Egypt, Father showed me that this prophecy was not just talking about ancient Egypt, but it was also talking about the end of days Egypt. So Father spoke to me in detail of this prophecy, and he told me, I'm going to show you who is the end of days Egypt. And he showed me that ancient Egypt was divided by the Nile River, and in the center of the central southern part of the Nile, there was this city called Memphis. It was the center of Egyptian trade. And Isaiah 19 says that when the Nile was drying up, the cotton fields were going to be destroyed, the linen fields, the fishing industry, and also the paper industry. Well, Memphis, ancient Memphis, was the center of trade, and it had the most prominent textile industry in the Egyptian Empire. They used to produce all the cotton fabrics and linen, and they used to have a prominent fishing industry and paper industry. And all this industry was destroyed during the year 572 BC, when this Egyptian Pharaoh Apries betrayed Israel. Now, when Father showed me all these aspects of ancient Egypt, he showed me a map of United States. And he told me, I'm going to reveal you the secrets of the end of days Egypt. He told me that ancient Egypt was divided by the Nile River, and America is divided by the Mississippi River. Ancient Egypt, in the middle southern part of the Nile, had this city called Memphis that was the center of trade, where they had all this prominent textile industry. Towards the middle south of the Mississippi River, we have a city called Memphis, Tennessee. And it is fascinating that in that city there's a gigantic pyramid that is called the Memphis Arena, and this pyramid has a statue of the Egyptian pharaoh Ramses, that according to secular archaeology is the pharaoh that oppressed the children of Israel. So then Father showed me that the Nile River used to go through 5 major Egyptian cities. It went through Memphis, one of its main capitals, but also went through Luxor. It went through Alexandria, it went through Tebas, and it goes through the modern capital of Egypt, which is Cairo. Now, the fascinating thing is that Father opened my eyes and he told me, look at the cities that the Mississippi River is crossing. The Mississippi River goes through Memphis, Tennessee. It goes through Cairo in the state of Illinois. It goes through Tebas in the state of Illinois. It goes through a town called Luxor in the state of Arkansas. And it goes through a city called Alexandria in the state of Louisiana. Then Father showed me the following thing, which is very interesting. At the delta of the Nile River, there was a city called Alexandria. At the delta of the Mississippi River, we also have a city called Alexandria. Then Father showed me another key aspect of ancient Egypt. He showed me when the children of Israel used to dwell in Egypt, they used to dwell in the land of Goshen, which is the northeast of Egypt. That was the most fertile land in the entire Egyptian territory. Now, in the northeast of America, in the state of New York, we have the biggest concentration of Jewish people in the world. And the fascinating thing is that in the state of New York, that is the northeast of America, we also have a town called Goshen. We had a town called Goshen in the northeast of ancient Egypt, where the children of Israel used to live. Now, the biggest concentration of Jewish people in the world is in the northeast of America, and in the state of New York, we have a town called Goshen. Interestingly, few miles away from Goshen, New York, in the state of New Jersey, we have a town called New Egypt. So, when Father was showing me all these similarities between ancient Egypt and modern United States, he revealed me a deep mystery on the ancient harbinger of Isaiah 19. What's happening in Isaiah 19, during a time of a judgment when Father was using the king of Babylon to bring worldwide judgment, before the king of Babylon established a new world order back then, a new world system, before he became the ruler of the entire Middle East and the ancient known world, there was a harbinger happening in Egypt, a sign of judgment, and the sign of judgment was that the river was going to dry up. As I said before, the drought in the Nile River would imply a widespread famine throughout the entire Middle East. Now, during that time, there was going to be a civil war in ancient Egypt, and Isaiah 19 says, I'm going to appoint a cruel master, a cruel pharaoh, a tyrant that is going to rule over the land of Egypt. This tyrant was Pharaoh Apries, that according to archaeology is very interesting what archaeology describes. Archaeology describes that during the time he was the Pharaoh of Egypt, there was economical havoc throughout the Egyptian Empire. So Pharaoh Apries, he was afraid that a revolt and a revolution would start within his country. So what he did, he called for foreign armies for support. So he hired Greek mercenaries, he hired foreign armies to come to Egypt and quench the revolt. But eventually, as the drought intensified and the economy went completely collapsed, the economy went down, there was a revolution between the local Egyptians and these foreign armies. After this civil war, Egypt was so weak that the Babylonian Empire came and completely defeated the Egyptian army. So when Father was showing me all these historical aspects of ancient Egypt, and when he was showing me that at the time when ancient Egypt collapsed, there was this cruel master describing us in Isaiah 19, this horrible tyrant, Father showed me something very interesting. During 2012, when I was given this prophecy, is the very same time when a drought in the Mississippi River was taking place. Father showed me when he judged the world before a world war happened, when the Egyptian Empire conquered the entire Middle East, there was this drought in the Nile River that was the breadbasket of the world. Right now, Father spoke to me and told me, we are so close to World War III, and this is my harbinger, this is my sign of judgment. As it happened on the staff of bread with ancient Egypt, is going to happen also in the end of days Egypt. So during 2012, when I was receiving this prophecy, there was an historical drought in the Mississippi River, and the amazing thing is that the Mississippi River is the breadbasket of America, And right now, America is one of the main breadbaskets of the world. Before I go on, I'm going to mention one of the last aspects of Egypt that I didn't mention so far. Egypt was divided in the following proportion. 30% of its territory was east of the Nile River, and about 66%, which is two-thirds, were actually west of the Nile River. It's amazing that America has the same proportion. 30% or one-third of the U.S. territory is east of the Mississippi River, and two-thirds is located west of the Mississippi River. Now, when this drought happened during 2012, I was looking in the news, historical drought in the Mississippi. The boats couldn't navigate from the Gulf all the way to Chicago, all the way to the state of Illinois. The water level was so low that people could actually swim across the mighty Mississippi River. It was no longer a mighty Mississippi River. And then Father guided me to some really interesting articles describing the banks of the Mississippi River as the breadbasket of America, and most of the grain, a lot of the grain was scorched because of this massive drought. Many crops, millions of acres were lost because of this massive drought. The fishing industry was really damaged. And then I saw cotton fields and linen fields destroyed during the drought of 2012, exactly like Isaiah 19 says, that the cotton fields were going to dry up and the linen fields were also going to be destroyed. Now, when that happened in ancient Egypt was ruled by this tyrant, this pharaoh called Pharaoh Prius. Isaiah 19 calls him the tyrant, the very evil king. When I was reading this prophecy, Father showed me a picture of Obama, and I saw this picture, and he was dressed in Egyptian tunic. He was dressed in Egyptian apparel with all the garments that the Egyptian rulers used to have. And the Father spoke to me, and he asked me a question. And he told me, where is he coming from? And I say, well, Father, his dad comes from Kenya. He's African-American. And then Father spoke to me, and he told me, you have answered me right. He comes from Kenya. And he says, I'm going to show you something about Kenya. The people of Kenya, the ancient people of Kenya, were related to the ancient Nubians, and the ancient Nubians are the people where the pharaohs came from. Really interesting. So the ancient pharaohs came from these people, the Nubians, that were related to the people of Kenya, and this is the people where the modern president of the U.S. is coming from. Now, when Father showed me all these prophetical aspects of and connections of ancient Egypt with America, he remind me of a prophetical event, really amazing event that happened during the Exodus. There are two harbingers for America. One has to do with the Pharaoh Prius. That was 6th century B.C. when ancient Egypt was destroyed. And the other has to do during the Exodus. Father spoke to me, and he showed me when the ancient Exodus happened. And he showed me that the ancient exodus from Egypt happened during 1492 B.C. There are different prophetical and archaeological elements that happened during this year that will never repeat again in history. During 1492 B.C., there was a pharaoh who died, and his name was Thutmose. Thutmose was the son of Ahmose. Interestingly, in the Hebrew language, the word Ahmose means brother of Moses. When Moses was a baby and his mother put him into the Nile River to save his life, he was adopted by an Egyptian princess and named him Moses, or Moses in ancient Egyptian language. Now his half-brother, who would become Pharaoh, his name was Ahmose. Ahmose in Hebrew means brother of Moses. So it's really fascinating that Moses, by this Egyptian prince, was named Moses, and his half-brother was Ahmose, which in Hebrew means brother of Moses. Now, when Moses stood up for righteousness to defend his people, and he killed the Egyptian supervisor, he needed to flee in the wilderness for 40 years. So his half-brother Ahmose, which means brother of Moses, he became the Pharaoh of Egypt. But 40 years later, he died, and his son Thutmose became the Pharaoh of Egypt. So 40 years later, when Moses comes back from the desert, he meets with Thutmose, the son of Ahmose, and he says, "This is the word of the Father. Let us go into the wilderness 3 days because we have to offer a sacrifice to our father, to our sovereign." So this Pharaoh, Thutmose, refuses to let the children of Israel go. Now, the amazing thing of this Pharaoh, Thutmose, is that, first of all, according to archaeology, he died in 1492 B.C. During 1492 B.C., there was a unique phenomenon happening in the Middle East, and it was a lunar eclipse. There was exactly a lunar eclipse on the Feast of Passover. Whenever there is a lunar eclipse, the moon looks red. So from this astronomical phenomenon, it comes the name of the blood moon that is described in the book of Joel and in the book of Revelation. So during the Passover of 1492 B.C., there was a lunar eclipse, which makes the moon to look red. So there was a blood moon in a biblical language. It is described as a blood moon. On that year, the Pharaoh Thutmose died. Now, the interesting thing is that the book of the Psalms, it says that Pharaoh sank into the ocean. In a lot of movies of the Exodus, we see Pharaoh standing on the beach and all the chariots of Pharaoh being destroyed in the ocean. But all these movies are based on popular stories. When we actually look at the Bible and when we look at the book of the Psalms, it says that Pharaoh sank into the ocean. So this Pharaoh actually died together with all his chariots. Now, the other fascinating thing, according to archaeology, this Pharaoh, Thutmose, he had two wives. So therefore, he had a firstborn child with his first wife, and he had a firstborn child with his second wife. Interestingly, according to archaeology, his two children died also in 1492 B.C. And what do we read in the book of Exodus? That the firstborn of Egypt were going to be killed when the spirit of the destroyer would come upon the land of Egypt. And he didn't destroy the firstborn of Israel because they had the sign of the blood, which is a prophetic sign of the Messiah. But the Egyptians didn't have the sign of the blood in the doorposts of their homes, so the firstborn children of every Egyptian family would die. Now, interestingly, this Pharaoh, since he has two wives, according to biblical principles, he would have a firstborn with the first wife and a firstborn with the second wife. So by these principles, his two children should be dead. And interestingly, archaeology confirms that his two children died on that very year. Now, why the Exodus is so important, Brother Rick? This is what the Father showed me. During that year, 1492 B.C., we remember the story that you just mentioned right now, and this is prophetic. The Spirit just put these words in your mouth right now. This Pharaoh of the Exodus commanded the children of Israel to make bricks without a straw. He wanted to oppress them. He wanted to punish them. He wanted to shatter them so that they wouldn't even dream with the Exodus. This has been the tactic of the enemy since the very beginning of days, to raise empires, to oppress his people so they don't have chance to study the Bible, to praise the Father, not even to think about him. So you mentioned at the beginning of this program, brother, that the ancient Pharaoh commanded the Israelites to make bricks without a straw. So instead of working like 10 hours a day, since they needed to make bricks without a straw, now they needed to work like 14 hours a day. They were completely broken, so they couldn't even dream with the Exodus. Now, this is what the Father showed me. 3,500 years later, from this very moment, 1492 B.C., when Pharaoh commands the Israelites to make bricks without a straw, 3,500 years later, which is the half of 7,000 and Father uses this number throughout the scriptures. 3,500 years later, it is the sabbatical year that I'm going to explain in a few minutes what sabbatical year means. It is the sabbatical year of 2008.
Well, it sounds like he's talking about the Shemitah, and that's prophetic in itself. I've been talking about the Shemitah for such a long time, nearly 8 years, and now I've been climaxing it. This is Revival. I'm Pastor Evangelist Johnny O. I know you want more. It's coming next week, part two. God bless.
Hi, this is Chrissy Ayes, and you're jamming to DJ Flash.
mix with DJ Flash.
Thank you.
Flash.
Thank you.
DJ Flash.
Thank you and good night.